How could I forget His love? And how could I forget His mercy? He satisfies my desire.
Think about His love, think about His goodness, think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love.
Even when I strayed away, His love has sought me out and found me. He satisfies my desire.
Right.
think about his love.
Glory. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. Thank you, sir. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? Y'all are quiet this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Thomas has brought the bag this morning, and we're going to see what's in here, all right? Oh, and there's something inside. Okay, so this is layered. Here. Ooh. What are these? Binoculars. It's the only thing you could think of. Well, that's a pretty good one. You might want to take the covers off before you try to look in there. May make it a little easier. So what do you use binoculars for? To see stuff far away. That's right. That's hard to see. We can only see so far, right? And those binoculars help us to see further. Well, how far can God see? They do, and I bet the people right in front of those doors are like right there. Binoculars help us see, right? And they help us see far, far away. And they're your daddy's. Okay. And does God need binoculars to see us? No, he doesn't, because he's always right there, isn't he? And he sees us, and he knows what's going on. He's never so far away from us that he needs binoculars to see us. But sometimes if we want to see birds or we want to see some animals in nature, we want to see something really far away, we need help, don't we? And we need binoculars to kind of help us see that. And it's important that we use those to kind of see some things that we might kind of scare away, right, if we get too close. And I want us to know this morning that God is always so close to us and so present with us that he doesn't need binoculars to see us. He's always right there with us. We're told that we are the apple of God's eye and that he is always there and present with us. And so we can certainly give him thanks for that. Why don't we have a seat on our bottoms? Thank you. All right. Well, thank you very much. Here, let's put these caps back on here. All right. Who do we want to give the bag to this week? All right, Abby, you can have the bag this week. We'll put these back in here nice and safe. All right. Now, hold on. Whoa, whoa, where are you going? All right, let's have a prayer, and then you all can go to Children's Church, okay? All right. We got to pray first, then we can go. We'll pray quick, I promise. Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace and how you are always so close to us. Lord, we thank you for tools like binoculars we can use to see far away. We thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to teach them and learn from them each and every day. We pray your blessings upon them. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thank y'all. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. This was, again, another favorite scripture passage that was given. Now, this is the first time this has ever happened. I asked for favorite scripture passages, and I have usually gotten some from a couple of people the same. This passage, four different people gave this passage. And so that told me that this was an important passage to many people here in the church. And so we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And I know what you're thinking. Will we get through it all? I have no idea. We'll see as we go. We're going to look at this passage each week from a different translation. Some of the people that gave it gave a translation of theirs that they enjoy. with this passage. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to consider this passage in very great detail. Every week, every sermon that I work on, there's always so much that I leave on the floor. There's, after all the research and looking into all these things, it becomes my job to figure out what I'm actually going to try to fit into about 2 or 3 hours worth of sermon. And I don't have to do that with this passage. I can give you all everything I find about it over the next 4 weeks. And I know you're almost as excited as I am. So let us hear now God's word from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We'll be looking at it from the Common English Bible. Philippians 4, 13. I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for the reading and the hearing of this your word. We pray you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we in the strength of the bodies you have given to us be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today, as we consider Philippians 4:13, we're gonna start by looking at kind of our response, our responsibility as far as this passage is concerned. Because with every passage in Scripture, there is a response that we must give. There is something we must do. And we're going to focus today on the first two words in this passage, which is, I can. Now, as I looked up the various English translations, there was only one that I could find that started this passage with another phrase. Every other English translation starts this verse by saying, I can. And then the varying degrees of difference then come later in the verse. But it starts with this phrase, I can. And I can't think of a more American phrase than that. How many of us have said, I can, to one thing or another? Everyone raise your hand. I can raise my hand this morning. Go ahead and do it. We can. This phrase, I can, it means I am able. I am capable, I am sufficient, I'm up to the task, whatever it may be, right? And all of us have uttered this phrase, all of us have said this, but how many of us, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, know that we really can't, right? We can't. In and of ourselves, we are incapable of pretty much everything. How many of you this morning tied your shoes without God's help? How many of you this morning made it here without God's help? This idea of I can, while it's kind of saturated in our mindset, it really isn't as true as we like to think that it is. And oftentimes when we read this passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we focus on what we can do, don't we? We focus on ourselves. And what Paul is trying to get at is that we're not the main thing. God is the main part, and we tend to get the cart before the horse. Now, the Greek word for I is ego, and it is where we get our word ego from. Anyone here have an ego? Okay, good. Yeah, all the people with an ego, right? Yeah, I do. I got the biggest ego here. What's interesting about this word is that it shows up only in its derivative form, and it's the very last word in this sentence. It is not the first word, it is the last word. And the derivative form of it is meh, M-E, and it's me. This last part strengthens me. That's really the only part where this word shows up. But here we've got it in the front, I can. And it's really not there. Now that is assumed based on what Paul says, but it doesn't actually say that until the very end of the sentence. And I think a better translation, in my very limited understanding of the Greek language, I think a better translation would read something like this. All powerful things are done in the strong one who empowers me. This verse, first and foremost, is a statement of God's power. It is a statement of God's strength. It is a statement of what God is and can and will do through us. The emphasis here is on God. Yet how quick are we, in all manner of things, to make ourselves the subject rather than the direct object? Because that's what we are here. We're the direct object in this sentence. Paul's focus is very clear. We are insufficient on our own. God is the one who is all-sufficient. God is the source of power and strength. Now, I say all this to say that we're not the focus of this, but we do have a part to play. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. There is a part, a small portion, that we have to play. But even that, we are only capable of because of God's grace. Because of His prevenient grace, as we understand it in our theology. That grace that goes before and that calls us to God. We have a responsibility in a small part as co-heirs with Christ. This calls us then to be active recipients of God's strength and not passive recipients. You know, we tend to go on either extreme. Either I can and we think that we're all sufficient and able to do these various things, or we say, well, there's nothing we can do without God. And we say it in this defeated mindset that there's nothing for us to do other than to just be. And Paul is trying to help us find some middle ground here. No, we cannot do anything outside of God's grace, but yes, we should be active in doing things with God's grace. So we have a part to play. How do we actively receive this strength? How do we take this strength and use it? Paul seems to indicate here in this passage that contentment is the best way to use this strength that we are given by God. How many of us are content this morning? More than I thought. Contentment isn't what we strive for, is it? We're raised and we're taught to strive for more, to go after more, to get more. Oftentimes, when I go to a buffet, I go to get more. Very rarely do I go to get content, right? That's not how we're built. We always want more, but contentment is the name of the game today. And I want us to consider the context with which Paul is writing this passage as he speaks about being content. He's saying right before this passage that he has known what it has been like to have very much, and he knows what it's like to have very little. He finds himself, as he's writing this passage, in prison, on his way to Rome. This 2+ year journey to Rome to his ultimate execution at the hands of Caesar. That is where Paul is as he writes this sentence down, as he considers what it means to be content in all things, knowing that God will give him the strength not to do more, but to be content with what he has and where he is. Contentment is gratitude. It's gratitude specifically for us to God for providing for our needs. How many of us this morning have our needs provided for? Thank you, God, for providing for our needs. Not necessarily our wants, but our needs. The strength we are given here is meant to serve God's will and not our own will, because our will doesn't focus on contentment, does it? It focuses on more, more, more. Me, me, me. I. Contentment keeps us from exhausting all of our energy, all of our time, and all of our resources selfishly. If we are content in God and know that we are where He has called us and placed us for this time, then our energy, our time, and our resources can be used for other people, can be used to do His will. Contentment here, such as Paul has, keeps us focused on the needs of others, keeps us focused on God's plan, on God's work, on what God is doing. We know God is taking care of us, which frees us then to take care of others. For us today, contentment means being happy with what we had because God has given it to us. What do you have this morning in your life that you would consider treasure because of who gave it to you? All of us can think of maybe an object or something that we have that we find joy in because of who gave it to us. Right? Why are we so protective of that and yet so forgetful about the things God continues to give to us? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that one. Contentment does not compare. It does not contrast. It doesn't see what others have and become jealous of it. It recognizes while the grass may be greener over there, at least I've got grass. And I've got the grass God has given me. And now I've got to mow that grass. Contentment simply rejoices. What does Paul tell us in verse 4 of this chapter? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. I wonder if he's also saying, be content in the Lord always. And I'll say it again. Be content. This phrase, I can, fails always because it starts with I. It starts with me. It starts with my ego instead of starting with God. It doesn't put God in his proper place. It refuses to be content because it desires more. Anytime I say I can, it's usually because someone has said I can't, and I've got something to prove. Oh, yeah, I'll show you. I double dog dare you. Well, all right. Famous last words. I can do that. The question for us this morning really is can we? Can we recognize God's grace in our lives? Can we recognize God's presence? Can we recognize the strength he's giving to us? And more often than not, the strength he's giving to us is not trying to keep us from doing more, but it's trying to keep us from doing something we shouldn't. It's that strength of restraint and contentment. Can we be content in all things, knowing that God's strength is for all people and not just us? Can we recognize God's strength as something meant to bring us closer to him and not as something that is meant to increase our wealth or our status? Can we get past ourselves? Can we let go of our egos and seek God and his strength? And the short answer to this is no, we can't. We are incapable. But God can. God will. God has made a way for this to happen. His strength is sufficient. His grace is all that we need. God is powerful enough, hear this morning, God is powerful enough to make us content enough to serve the people who do not have enough. I'm going to say that one more time. God is powerful enough to make us content enough to serve people who do not have enough. Praise God this morning for his power, for his strength, for his greatness. Praise God that he doesn't give us any more power than we can handle, because who knows what more of a mess we'd be in if that were the case. May we seek to serve God above all, knowing that he will continue to give us joy each and every day. that he will give us contentment each and every day. And it won't necessarily be in some elaborate form, but it will be in the simple fact that you can sit down and take a deep breath and just be thankful for what you have. And this morning, as we prepare to come to the table of Jesus Christ, may we come in gratitude. May we recognize this as Eucharist, as thanksgiving. May we be content around this table, and may we rejoice that Christ has invited all of us to it. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for your love and your grace. Forgive us those times, those moments where we think it's all on us. Help us to be content, to recognize your strength and your power, your love and your mercy. And may we, in the strength that you have given us, be faithful to you and to others. In Christ's name we pray.